Hello and welcome to Series 7 of the International Soccer Podcast. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Connor. And in this six-part series, we are doing a group-by-group preview of African Cup 2021. And today we will be discussing Group E, which is Algeria, Ivory Coast, Sierra Leone, and Equatorial Guinea.
Right, and for you two botchers, I'm wearing the same shirt as the last podcast because it's kind of the same. It's not that I support Algeria, I'm just trying to be thematic.
Yeah, lots of green today.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll handle this podcast in three parts. So part one, we'll begin with an overview of the group, looking at a comparison of the size of each country and the population. And part two is by far the longest. It's a team-by-team overview. So we'll be looking at their long history in the World Cup and in the African Cup, with special attention to the African Cup finals, since that's what we're going into. And we'll look at their recent history, qualifying record, and a brief overview of their players. And then part three will be a discussion of their prospects and our predictions. So we're going to be looking at the rankings, the odds, the head-to-head records, and then talking about what we think.
Right. So just a brief overview of the tournament. So it is called the 2021 African Cup, even though it's being played in early 2022. And the host country is Cameroon. There are 24 teams in the tournament. The top two in each group advance, along with the four top third place finishers. And then in terms of qualifying, there was a preliminary round to reduce the 52 participants to 48. And then those 48 teams were divided into 12 groups of four, with the top two from each qualifying for the African Cup.
All right. I got a couple of good stories in this podcast, but we'll wait to get to that. Let's start with an overview of each country.
All right. So starting with Algeria, which is one of the Mediterranean countries. Algeria is the largest country in Africa at almost 2.4 million square kilometers. Wow. It's the 10th largest country in the world. And in fact, is larger than Greenland, if you were to, may not always be obvious looking at a map, but that's just because of how the world is skewed. So it's a huge country.
Uh-huh.
And in terms of its population, it's got 44.7 million people, which is eighth among African countries.
Okay, well, let's move on to Ivory Coast.
So Ivory Coast is one of many countries that borders the Gulf of Guinea. Its size is 322 square kilometers, which is 28th largest out of 54 countries, so kind of in the middle. And it's about similar in size to Poland. And in terms of population, there are 27 million people, which is 17th largest in Africa.
Great. All right. Team three is Sierra Leone.
Yeah, they're not quite neighbors of Ivory Coast, but they're very close. It's a small country about the size of Ireland. About 71,000 square kilometers. So it's 40th largest in Africa, so getting to the smaller end. And there are 8.3 million people, so 33rd out of 54.
Okay, and finally, Equatorial Guinea.
Equatorial Guinea is only 28,000 square kilometers, so that's 44th in Africa, or the 11th smallest. It's a country that's slightly smaller than Belgium, and despite its name, it's not actually on the equator, but it's very close. And for Equatorial Guinea, their population is 1.5 million people, which is the eighth smallest population in Africa, but only the third smallest in this tournament, as it's larger than both Comoros and Cape Verde.
Okay, well, let's look at those in comparison to each other.
So just in terms of area, Algeria is 5.5 times larger than all the other three countries put together.
Wow.
So it's huge. It also has the largest population at almost 45 million people. Ivory Coast is next at 27 million, then Sierra Leone at 8.3, and finally Equatorial Guinea at 1.5 million people.
All right. Good stat there on the size of Algeria. And yeah, quite a big difference between the sizes of the countries here. So let's start with Algeria then. How about their nickname, Connor?
Their nickname is the Desert Foxes.
Okay, great. Okay, well, we'll start with an overview of their participation and achievements. So their first international game was in 1963, and they first entered the African Cup in 1968 and the World Cup in 1970, participating consistently in each since. Their local group is UNAF, or the Union of North African Football. There's actually no senior men's cup, as there is in most sub-regional groups. UNAF seems to focus more on youth and women's competitions. And Algeria also sometimes take part in the Arab Cup, having entered three of its nine editions since 1963. In terms of achievement, they've reached the World Cup four times, passing the group stage in 2014. And they've won the African Cup twice, in 1990 when they hosted, and recently. And they also recently won the 2021 Arab Cup, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So let's move on to a closer look at the World Cup, a kind of an overview. In World Cup play, they didn't make it past the first round of qualification in their first two attempts from 1970, and only made round two of four in 1978. It therefore came as a surprise when they reached the Cup in 1982. In a famous incident which ultimately led to the third match of the group stage being played simultaneously, Germany and Austria colluded to play to a score that would see them both through and Algeria out. They reached the Cup again in 1986 when they earned a draw with Northern Ireland in their opener, but lost to Brazil and Spain to finish last in the group. After narrowly missing what would have been a third World Cup in a row in 1990, they went into decline, failing even to reach the final round of qualification in 1998. They returned in 2010. That was a result of winning a famous playoff with the mighty Egyptian team. And then they made it two in a row in 2014, where they turned in their best performance, passing the group stage and giving eventual champions Germany their sternest test of the 2014 World Cup. So let's see, having made it in 2014, whether they were able to make it three times in a row.
Indeed, they were not. Algeria suffered a ghastly campaign, which saw them go through five managers. After receiving a round and bye one, they had no trouble with Tanzania in round two. They looked the strongest of the teams in a difficult round three group, but proved the weakest as they failed to win a game against Cameroon, Nigeria, and Zambia, and finished bottom of the group. After the fact, they were awarded a win in the last game, though ultimately it meant nothing.
Right. Well, how about 2022 then?
So Algeria once again received a bye in the first round. They then tied Burkina Faso home and away in the group stage, but were more consistent in winning all games against Niger and Djibouti, so finished first in round two of three. So that has qualified them for a home and away playoff to decide who goes to the World Cup, but their opponent has yet to be determined.
Right, that'll be decided on January 26th. Okay, let's move to the African Cup, and we're going to do kind of an overview and then a deep dive into the African Cup finals. So, in African Cup play, they qualified for their first in 1968, but despite coming close, they didn't reach the next five tournaments. They next qualified in 1980, and that began an excellent decade, kind of in line with their World Cup record, where they finished in the top four. They finished in the top four, five out of six cups in a row, finally winning when they hosted in 1990. They weren't able to maintain that top form, though, as in World Cup play, their form kind of fell off, hitting a low in 1994 when they were disqualified. From 1996, they always reached the cup, but got no further than the quarterfinals. But this also hit bottom when they failed to qualify in both 2006 and 2008. 2010 marked a return to form, as in World Cup play. They finished fourth in the 2010 tournament. However, while good form continued in World Cup play, it didn't in the African Cup, and they failed to qualify in 2012. They did reach the following cups, but a quarterfinal finish in 2015 was the best they could do. Connor's going to take us through the three more recent cups soon, but we're going to just take a deep dive into their African Cup final history. So in their first entry in 1968, they won all games in qualifying over Mali and Upper Volta, which is now called Burkina Faso. However, they were unable to pass the group stage of the cup. They failed to reach, as we said, the next five cups, but finished second on their return in 1980, initiating a good period. In 1980, they lost 3-0 in the final to host Nigeria. They were undefeated in the group stage for the next three cups in a row, but were unable to get past the semi-final. It looked like the chance of a title had gone when they fell at the group stage in 1986 and passed it by only by the drawing of lots in 1988, where they eventually finished third again. But 1990 saw them hosting the cup, and they made the most of it, winning all games along the way and beating Nigeria in the final. They really did drop off after that, though, despite reaching the cup every time, except for a disqualification in 1994. They reached the quarterfinal at best, the cup having expanded to 16 teams from 1996. It was inconsistent, too. In 1996, they won all group stage games, but the promising start was halted at the next step. And in 1998, they lost all group stage games. Cups roughly alternated with good and weak group stages until 2006, where they failed to even qualify. Fourth place in 2010 broke the pattern, but otherwise they ranged from not qualifying to reaching the quarterfinals, but no further. Even 2010 was unremarkable, going 1-1-1 in the group stage, beating Ivory Coast on penalties in the quarterfinal, and then losing to Egypt and Nigeria to finish fourth. So now let's see if they were able to break out of this middling form in more recent tournaments.
So in 2017, Algeria put together a commanding qualification, suffering only a draw in Ethiopia. They otherwise won all games by at least a two-goal margin, Seychelles and Lesotho being the other teams in the group. They came into the tournament as one of the favorites, but were disappointing, opening with a draw against Zimbabwe, then losing to Tunisia and, with a slim chance of advancing, tying Senegal to finish third in the group stage. Little was expected in 2019 after their group stage finish in 2017 and their poor World Cup 2018 campaign. They had an unconvincing qualification, tying third place Gambia twice on an injury time goal in the home leg and losing away to second place Benin. Nevertheless, they finished first in the qualifying group, beating weakening Togo twice. They were far more convincing in the group stage of the tournament, where they beat Kenya and Senegal, allowing them to field the B team to beat Tanzania and finish first in the group. With a seemingly impenetrable defense, they finished first in the group stage ahead of the top-seeded Senegal there. After that, they beat Guinea. Then in the quarterfinal, Ivory Coast on penalties. They beat Nigeria in the semifinal and in the final, Senegal again, this time on a single goal in the second minute to win their second African Cup title.
All right, so they are coming in as defending champions here, and we'll look at their qualification soon. We're just going to take a brief look at kind of their local cup and other involvements. So as mentioned, they're members of UNAF, the Union of North African Football, and that group has five countries, Egypt, Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, and Libya. But as we mentioned before, they don't have a tournament for that. However, they have intermittently taken part in the Arab Cup. It was just two entries out of nine editions between 1963 and 2012, and they were knocked out at the group stage both times there. In 2021, the competition was taken over by FIFA, much as another Arabic competition was, the King Fahd Cup in Saudi Arabia was subsumed by FIFA to become the Confederations Cup in 1997. So this one was also played a year before the World Cup, a year before World Cup 22, and acted as a dress rehearsal hosted by Qatar. It took place in December 2021, and Algeria and several other teams sent its best players, although generally the locally based players, and they won the tournament here. We'll take a look at that in the recent history. But let's first of all summarize Algeria.
Yeah, in summary, Algeria have had two strong periods. The 1980s followed a very weak start over the previous 10 years, but saw success in both World and African Cups. They were quite flat in the 90s, reaching at best the quarterfinals until 2010, where they started a good, if inconsistent, period with success in both Cups. It continued only in World Cup play, but just as that fell off in 2018, they came out of a slump in African Cup play to win the 2019 title.
Right, so their defining feature seems to be inconsistency, which we've seen over the past 10 years. Their World Cup successes in 2010 and 2014 was only reflected in a slight rise in the African Cup performance in 2010. But while they impressed on the world stage in 2014, they remained pretty blasé in African Cup play. Conversely, a terrible World Cup campaign in 2018 was followed by winning the African Cup in 2019. So it's a little hard to know which version of Algeria to expect going forward. Okay, let's take a look at their qualifying for this cup.
All right, so it was a consistent and comfortable qualification, suffering only ties in second place Zimbabwe and third place Zambia. But they won their home legs and won both against Botswana to finish a distant first in their qualifying group.
Right. Now, most teams' recent matches are actually World Cup qualifiers, but Algeria has had both the Arab Cup and a couple of friendlies. So do you want to talk us through the Arab Cup there, Connor?
Yeah, so they were pretty convincing in the Arab Cup. They beat Sudan and Lebanon before tying Algeria in the group stage.
You mean Egypt?
Egypt, sorry.
Yeah,
Algeria then beat Morocco's in penalties in the quarterfinals, beat host Qatar 2-1 in the semis, and then met Tunisia in the final. And after a 0-0 game, they won in penalties, as you said, to take home the Arab Cup. So a good period winning the last two competitions they've entered.
Yeah, that's right. Just a quick correction there. It wasn't on penalties, but in extra time.
Against Tunisia. Yes, thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay, and they've scheduled a couple of friendlies since. They were supposed to play Gambia on January 1st, but that game was cancelled. But they did have a friendly with Ghana on January 4th, which they won quite convincingly 3-0. All right, well, let's take a quick look at their players. And we're going to be posting a podcast on players. We won't be able to do all 24 teams, but we're thinking of doing some of the favorites, some of the tournament favorites. And of course, Algeria having won in 2019 is one of them. And they have a lot of scorers. They scored a lot of goals in 2021. And in 2022 World Cup qualifying. So the most outstanding player there is Bagdad Bouneja, and he scored 4 goals in 2021, but just 2 actually in 2022. Riyad Mahrez is pretty familiar to watchers of the Premier League. He scored 3 goals in 2021 and 5 in 2022. And I'll just mention one more, Islam Slimani. He was their top scorer in World Cup 2020-22 qualifying with 7 goals, and he also got 2 in 2021. Any other names you want to point out there, Connor?
Yeah, he didn't score as many, but Saeed Benrahma is a familiar name. Also up front, they have Yassine Brahimi. So they've got a lot of firepower, a lot of goal scorers, and you know, they against some of the weaker teams in qualifying, they really filled the net, scoring 6 and even 7 goals. So yeah, they're quite a potent offensive power.
Yeah, they kind of remind me of Chile in about 2015, where it was, you know, just a very solid squad. Most of the starters are starting every game. They're not actually, you know, using a lot, trying out a lot of players like some teams do. They seem pretty happy with the squad they have, and very tight. And I think they communicate well on the field. They know each other. So I think they're looking quite good squad wise.
Yeah. And we do want to feature one player, and it's actually not one of their offensive stars, but their goalkeeper, 35-year-old Race Mboli. He plays currently with Etifak in Saudi Arabia, but has previously played in a number of countries, France, Turkey, the United States, Bulgaria, Russia, Greece, to name a few. So he's been around for quite a while. And he started all their games in the 2019 African Cup and, in fact, won the Golden Glove Award for best goalkeeper. So I'm not sure how many more or how much longer he'll be around, but he's kind of their undisputed number one at this point. Would you agree?
Definitely in terms of goalkeepers. And as you say, it might be his last tournament here at 35 years old, but he's been their starting keeper since the 2010 World Cup. He hasn't missed a tournament. He did get injured in the 2017 African Cup, so a backup keeper came in for him there. But he played played 8 of their 11 games in the lead up to this, so he definitely seems the main man there. Okay, well, let's move on to Ivory Coast, and we'll start with their we'll start with their nickname, Connor.
Yeah, the nickname is the Elephants.
Right. Now, just a note here. A lot of maps or websites refer to them as Côte d'Ivoire. And we've decided to call them Ivory Coast. It's not that we're being kind of stubborn in our cultural views. I'm going to say things the way I want to say things. It's just that we made a decision, you know, we don't call Japan Nippon, we don't call Germany Deutschland or Korea Daehanmingu. And I feel a little silly saying things like Paris Saint-Germain, although that's, you know, the proper pronunciation. So we've just decided to go with the kind of the English pronunciation most of the time. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, that works for me.
Yeah. Okay. Now down to Ivory Coast. Their first international game was in 1960, and they first entered World Cup qualification in 1974. Apart from not entering in 1982, their participation in the World Cup has been consistent. They entered the African Cup 9 years earlier in 1965. And they've been quite consistent in their participation there too, except for the same non-entry in 1982, in addition to a disqualification in 1978. I might have to check on that. Anyway, their local group is WAFU, or the West African Football Union. That's true. They were disqualified in 1978. The most recent version of that West African Football Union tournament, it has 6 editions from 2010. Sorry, I got a little lost in my words there. However, Ivory Coast only participated in the last 2 in 2017 and 2019. Looking back at their achievement, Ivory Coast was an intermittent power in Africa long before it showed on the world stage. They reached their first World Cup in 2006, from which point they qualified three times in a row. However, they never got past the group stage. African Cup play saw mixed success in the early years, but never higher than third place until they won the title in 1992, the year the Cup was expanded to 12 teams. They won their second title in 2015. And in the WAFU Cup, they haven't had much success in their two entries, a semi-final finish in 2019 being much better than a fairly weak performance in 2017. So we move on to the World Cup and an overview. So despite being a significant African power in the previous century, their World Cup, their world stage presence was only felt in 2006 with a breathtaking qualification over Cameroon. But it was overdue rather than being a surprise. From 1974 to 2002, they had mixed success, sometimes knocked out early, and three times finishing second in the final round. Of these, though, only in 1994 did they really come close. There they finished tied on points with Nigeria, who advanced, though quite far behind on goal difference, thanks to a 4-1 loss to Nigeria in the last game. 2002, on the other hand, saw them finish second, which looks good, finish second behind the group in Tunisia, but they were 5 points behind, so not really close. In 2006, though, a thrilling qualification saw them finish 1 point ahead of Cameroon, despite losing to them twice. They otherwise only dropped points in the 16 group with a tie in Libya, so they proved more consistent than Cameroon. They also reached the Cup convincingly in 2010 and 2014, thanks to a golden generation. In the Cups, however, they never passed the group stage, despite picking up at least a win every time. In 2014, they strangely went undefeated. In 2018. Well, wait, I'm going to leave that for you, Connor, to take us through 2018.
Sure. So Ivory Coast are one of the top 27 ranked teams in Africa, so they received a bye in the first round. In the round two pairing, they beat Liberia twice, having no trouble with them. They were heavy favorites going into the round three group stage, and they started well, beating Mali at home, Gabon away, and tying Morocco away. But it all fell apart after that. As they mustered only a tie in Mali and lost to Gabon at home. A win at home over Morocco in the final game would have seen them through, but it was the North Africans who took the prize. So strangely, they went undefeated on the road, but lost two games at home, and most critically, that final game to group winners Morocco.
Yeah, a bit of an odd qualification run there, better on the road than at home. How about 2022?
So they once again received a bye in the first round, which is just a preliminary round. They started the campaign with a shudder of inconsistency, tying Mozambique away. That was enough to see them finish behind the more consistent Cameroon, with whom they exchanged home wins. They won both games against last place Mali, but finished second in round two of three. So here they won all their home games, but had just one win on the road. So it was a tight group, but they failed to advance to the final playoff round, so that you will not see Ivory Coast at the next World Cup.
Yeah, that's an interesting parallel to 2006, where, both they and Cameroon were very consistent, and just one shudder in each case. They won it in 2006, but that small shudder at the beginning cost them here. All right, let's move on to their African Cup history, starting with an overview. So in the African Cup, they had a good run in the late 60s, coming in the top four for three African Cups in a row. In the 70s to mid 80s, they were in again and out again, never passing the group stage if they made it at all. From 1984, however, they have qualified for every African Cup except for 2004, where they were harshly seeded with South Africa. And they won in 1992 and took third place in 1986 and 1994. They bettered that in recent years with second place finishes in 2006 and 2012. And having passed the group stage every time since 2006, their touted golden generation finally won the title in 2015. So we're going to look at if they were able to defend that title. But first, let's take a deep dive into their African Cup history. So Ivory Coast stormed onto the scene in 1965 with two third place and one fourth place finish. And 1965 was a good achievement as there were now 14 teams entering for a place in the six-team tournament. It became a more significant achievement as more and more African countries joined the Cup. The 1968 third place came in a tournament that had been expanded to eight teams, and they had knocked out Nigeria in qualification there and Algeria at the group stage before losing 4-3 to Ghana in extra time of the semi-final. But perhaps the competitive of the region grew too much for them. From 1970 on, they didn't pass the group stage, even if they reached the Cup. In fact, they didn't win a game in the Cup until they hosted in 1984. There, they beat Togo in the first game, but lost to Cameroon and Egypt and failed to pass the group stage. A bit embarrassing for a host to be knocked out at the group stage. As if to make up for that, they took third place in 1986, but only reached the group stage in the next two Cups. The Cup was expanded to 12 teams in 1992, and they had a good run, knocking Morocco out in qualifying and then reaching the final, beating Zambia in extra time in the quarterfinal and Cameroon on penalties in the semi-final. A thrilling final saw them win 11-10 on penalties, Connor, over Ghana to win their first title.
Wow, what a shootout.
Yeah, Ivory Coast is famous for them, as we'll see. They followed that up with a third place finish in 1994, but declined from there, even failing to qualify in 2004. Enter 2006 and the march of their golden generation. They passed the group stage every time until finally winning, as we saw in 2015. But that included two second place finishes in 2006 and 2012. 2006 saw them beating Cameroon 12-11 on penalties in the quarterfinal. We saw in 2006 World Cup qualifying that they had edged out Cameroon, so they got the better of them once again. They lost to Egypt on penalties in the 2006 final, and they looked set to go far in 2008, crushing teams by three goals or more along the way, including a 5-0 drubbing of Guinea in the quarterfinal. But then they crashed headlong into another golden generation, Egypt, in the midst of their three titles in a row, and they lost 4-1 in the semi-final. It was second place in 2012 also, but there in the final they met an amazing Zambia who were motivated to memorialize the 1993 team that had died in a plane crash in host country Gabon and who beat Ivory Coast 8-7 on penalties in the final. But their time finally came in 2015, despite a difficult qualification round where they finished second behind Cameroon. The group stage was kind of unconvincing also with two draws, but there they reached the final where they beat Ghana in yet another prolonged penalty shootout, winning 9-8. All right, so that brings us to 2015 where they won their second title, and let's see if they were able to defend it.
So in 2017, there was a bit of an unconvincing build-up to the Cup, despite winning their qualifying group. They tied three of four games in a three-team group against Sierra Leone and Sudan, beating only Sudan at home. However, it was a terrible defense of their title, tying Togo and Congo DR before a lackluster performance and loss to Morocco to finish third in the group stage on just 2 points.
Right. They only won one game in the whole campaign there.
2019 started off in qualifying with a loss at home to Guinea, and they also tied them, and Central African Republic away. Not recovering from that initial loss meant a second place finish in the qualifying group behind Guinea, Rwanda being the other team in the group. But that was enough to qualify them for the tournament. Once there, they beat South Africa by a single goal, but lost to Morocco in the same fashion to finish second in the group stage with a lackluster performance, even in their 4-1 win over Namibia. They did not really deserve a win over Mali in the round of 16, but played better in the quarterfinals despite losing to eventual champions Algeria on penalties. So a chance for revenge this time around.
Yeah, that's right. And they face Algeria here too. Okay, well, let's take a look at their local situation. So they were actually slated to hold the newly formed WAFU Nations Cup in 2002, but the tournament was cancelled due to civil war in Ivory Coast. And then the tournament was not resumed until 2010, from which time it's now had 6 editions. However, Ivory Coast only participated in the last 2 of these in 2017 and 19. And I think we said it was semi-final finish in 2019, but only group stage finish in 2017. And that's it for other involvement. So let's move to a summary.
So in short, Ivory Coast have had 3 periods of being a first-tier power. In the late 60s and early 90s, though neither of those measured on the world radar, but their last period from 2006 to 2015 is their longest and the result of a golden generation. They have declined since, evidenced by being a Pot 2 team in 2022 World Cup qualification.
Yeah, after winning the African Cup in 2015, members of the golden generation began to retire. So the team has arguably been in slow decline since. They were no match for top teams in recent World Cup and African Cup runs. And they're working to rebuild, and they will have to reach the top tier again. So let's take a look at 2021, their recent qualifying campaign for this tournament.
So Ivory Coast won all home games, but lost to Ethiopia, who finished second. And tied in Madagascar, who finished third, both those games on the road. They twice beat last place Niger to finish first in the qualifying group with a comfortable enough record of 4 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss.
All right. Well, normally we look at recent matches, but there have been no friendlies recently, just the World Cup qualifiers. So we're going to move directly to a look at their players. And I was surprised, Connor, to see one of my favorite players of the golden generation, Gervinho, still involved here. He got one of their goals in 2021. I don't think he made it to the actual squad for this tournament, though.
Yeah, former Arsenal player and Roma. So, I was surprised to see that name come up as well.
Yeah, we're going to feature Max Allan Gradel, even though he only got one goal in 2021 and missed a penalty on top of it. But he did get 2 goals in 2022. And Sebastian Haller, who had a spell with West Ham, but didn't do that well with them, Connor.
No, but he's moved to Ajax and has since been in really good form for them, particularly in the Champions League. So, he's kind of a player reborn, probably at a right time for Ivory Coast as well.
Yeah, that's right. And, Nicolas Pepe hasn't performed that well for Arsenal, but he's a fairly big name, I think, for Ivory Coast, even though he didn't score in the 2021 campaign. A couple of other names there, Willy Bolly in defence and Serge Aurier. And Maxwell Cornet, who was, I think, Burnley just paid a record amount for him. Is that right?
Yeah, and he's adapted to life in the Premier League very, very well. Other names include Jean-Michel Seri with Fulham and then Frank Kessier, who's a regular for AC Milan.
Yeah, so a lot of names there. I don't feel like they've quite gelled like the Golden Generation did, but it seems like they certainly have the personnel there.
Yeah,
You take it from here.
Sure. So we'll talk about Maxelaine Gradel. He's been with the national team since 2011 and has 91 caps and 15 goals in that time. He currently plays for Sivasspor in Turkey, but he's been around playing with Toulouse in France, Bournemouth in England, Saint Etienne in France, and then both Leeds and Leicester in England. I actually remember him when he kind of burst onto the scene with Leeds United a decade ago. He was a fabulous player for them then.
Yeah, he's definitely had some kind of outstanding moments. But the fact is, he wasn't really a starter for the team in a lot of their tournaments. His first one was a B-team game in 2012. And most of the time, he was kind of a sub. But in 2019, he seemed fully involved, which seemed to be a long time coming. Okay, shall we move on?
Yeah, we'll talk about Sierra Leone, whose nickname is Leone Stars.
All right, well, let's begin with a kind of an overview of their participation and achievements. So, pretty old team. Their first international game was in 1949. And they first completed qualification for both the World Cup and African Cup in 1974. They didn't enter the 1990 World Cup and withdrew in 1994, but they've joined consistently otherwise. It's actually quite a bit more inconsistent in the African Cup, where they actually first entered in 1970, but withdrew and completed their first qualification in 1974. They didn't enter in 1976 and 1980, and withdrew in 1986, 1990, 1998, even though they completed at least one qualification between each of those absences. They were also disqualified in 2000 and 2019, so pretty patchy record in the African Cup there. Their local group is WAFU, like Ivory Coast, the West African Football Union, and they are eligible for the WAFU Nations Cup, which, as we saw, has six editions from 2010, but they participated in only three of those. In terms of achievement, they've never reached the World Cup, but came close in 1998. That was a period of strength, as they had also reached the African Cup twice in a row in 1994 and 1996. The most recent cup is their best showing in the WAFU Nations Cup. There they qualified for the quarterfinals for the first time. Okay, so let's move on to a World Cup. Let's move on to a World Cup overview. So generally, they're knocked out in the first round of World Cup qualification, and they only got beyond that three times in 1998, 2002, and 2014. 1998 is their best result, but their second place finish in the 14 group was a full 9 points behind leaders Morocco, and thus it wasn't as close as it seemed. They had campaigns of similar quality in 2010 and 2014, despite finishing third in each case. Throughout most of their campaigns, they earned some good results, and not always at home. These include several home ties with top-tier teams, which is never a surprise in Africa, but a win over Nigeria in 2002 was good, and an away win in Ghana in 1998, who they bested and finished ahead of, shows that they can flex some muscle. Let's take a look at their recent campaigns.
So beginning with the 2018 World Cup, they were one of the 26 weakest teams in Africa required to play in round one of three. There, they exchanged home wins with Chad, but found themselves on the wrong side of the away goals rule. So they were out of the competition quite quickly.
Yikes.
For the 2020... two World Cup. They were again among the bottom half of teams required to play in round one of three, which is what's effectively a preliminary knockout round. Their FIFA ranking was second top in that group, though, at 114, and they met neighbors Liberia, who were ranked 152. After losing to two late goals in the first leg, they won the second and had the opportunity to make up the goal difference on an injury time penalty, which they missed to be eliminated in the preliminary knockout.
Oof is my official response to that. Okay, well, let's take a look at their African Cup history. And I've just got a little lost there. And we'll start with an overview and then take a deep dive, although there's not a lot to dive into there. Their qualifications for the 1994 and 1996 African Cups were actually preceded by two good campaigns before that. They did well to reach those cups, but they weren't able to get past the group stage. A long dry spell ensued after that, with the withdrawal in 1998, a disqualification in 2000, and an early round knockout in 2002. Their disqualification in 2000 was for being unable to guarantee the safety of visiting teams, a kind of an unusual reason I've never heard before from FIFA. 2004, though, was a competitive qualification run, but it was the last one until 2012. In 2012, they were very close, finishing in a three-way tie for first with Niger advancing and Niger advancing over them. And 2013, where they tied Tunisia twice, but lost out on away goals. More often, though, campaigns have been pretty feeble. In the first few campaigns, they were invariably knocked out early. And in 2008, they earned just a single goal in six games, while 2015 saw them earn only a single draw over eight games. Though, in fairness, that was a notably difficult group. Okay, well, before Connor takes us through their recent campaigns, we're going to do a deep dive into their two cups in the 1990s. So in 1994, they were undefeated in qualification, impressively finishing ahead of Algeria and Senegal. In the three-team group stage, though, they lost 4-0 to Ivory Coast and tied Zambia 0-0. Emerging from the contest without a goal. 1996 saw them finish second behind Ghana, with three of the six teams not completing qualification. They started the group stage well with a win over Burkina Faso, but then lost to Algeria and Zambia, Zambia scoring in at 2 minutes and 9 minutes to eventually hand Sierra Leone a 4-0 defeat. Okay, let's move up to current times then and see how they did in 2017.
Yeah, well, after a weak 2015 qualification, in 2017, they were competitive again. After losing their opener in Sudan, they overcame Sudan, who were the Pot 2 team, by tying Ivory Coast both home and away to finish second in the tight three-team qualification group. However, that wasn't enough to take them to the cup.
Okay, what about 2019?
2019 started with the win at home to Kenya and then a loss to Ethiopia, but games were then suspended for government interference, which later became a disqualification with all their games annulled. So actually, this was a benefit for Kenya, who had lost to Sierra Leone, but a bane for Ethiopia, who had beaten them.
Okay, just a quick look at their local involvement. So they're part of WAFU, or the West African Football Union. They've only competed in half the six editions in this incarnation of the Cup, which started in 2010. And they are more involved recently, having joined the last two Cups in 2017 and 2019. In the most recent edition, they won a qualifying game over Liberia, who we saw beat them in their 2022 World Cup qualifying. That was all they needed to do to reach the tournament, which actually is not really a tournament. It begins as a quarterfinal knockout and then goes down to the final. But they lost to Mali there. And that's that. So let's summarize Sierra Leone.
Well, as with many African teams, they are tough at home and have taken points for many of the top teams there, especially in their strong campaigns. Certainly, their best years were in the mid-90s, where they not only reached two African Cups, but were competitive in qualification runs prior to that. Unfortunately, they did not participate in World Cup competition during that period, but it does reflect in their 1998 World Cup qualification, which was their most competitive campaign. In their case, some countries refused to visit their home because of the trouble with the Ebola virus. However, reports of its extinction in 2015 have calmed these fears.
Yeah, so I said before, I was a bit surprised they were disqualified for not guaranteeing safety. I wonder, in most cases, that would be, you know, a kind of a coup in the country or political turmoil. But I wonder if in Sierra Leone it was actually because of this kind of thing.
Yeah, I suspect you may be right there.
Right. So even though they're inconsistent in their performance, they are as inconsistent in their performance as they are in their attendance. Though generally consistent now, disqualification in 2019 adds to their patchy participation generally. They're as likely to go out in a preliminary round as they are to prove competitive, you know, or at least take points from strong teams. For example, in 2014, that was one of their more competitive World Cup campaigns, but it was followed up by going out to Chad in a preliminary in 2018. Similarly, they had four competitive African Cup campaigns between 2004 and 2017, but then they earned only a single draw in 2008 and 2015. So if we look at this in terms of FIFA rankings, FIFA rankings had them at 166 in 2008, jumping up to 54 in 2011. And then down to around 110 in current time. So kind of all over the place there, Connor.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's see which version of Sierra Leone came out in 2021.
Well, their qualifying campaign began, they lost only in Benin and staged a terrific comeback against Nigeria, to whom they went down 4-0, but fought back to tie 4-4 on the road. Wow. A staggering result.
Yeah.
They tied four games, and their only win came in their last game at home to Benin, who, as a result of them winning, they leapfrogged Benin into second place and into an advancing position. So just one win, but four draws and a loss was enough to see them through in second place.
Yeah, just squeaking through, really, but they're here nevertheless. And in terms of recent matches, well, they were knocked out of World Cup qualifying in the first round. So they did play a few friendlies over that period. Do you want to talk about those, Connor, or should we move on?
No, we'll mention them briefly, but maybe you could take us through those.
Yeah, well, basically, the most significant one is the last one in November, which was a home loss to Comoros. So they lost 2-0 to, you know, these are maybe two of the weakest teams in the African Cup, but it gives a little insight. On the other hand, they did win in Gambia, so battling it out with the kind of the weaker members of this African Cup there. Okay, well, let's take a look at their players. I'm really not familiar with many of these players, except Kai Kamara, who we'll feature as our feature player. But any comments there, Connor?
No, Sierra Leone are kind of a mix of players who play domestically with local Sierra Leone clubs, a handful of players playing in Europe, and strangely, a number of unattached players. perhaps hoping to get picked up with good performances in this cup.
Right. Well, I'll just point out Kwame Kwi is their top scorer in both 2021 and 2022, but they haven't scored a lot of goals. Just 6 goals in 2021, and he got 2 of them, and only 2 goals in 2022, and he got 1 of them. But Kai Kamara scored 1 goal in both cups, so let's feature him.
Yeah, he's a 37-year-old now, has 36 caps and 7 goals for the national team. And he actually spent a lot of his playing career in Major League Soccer in the United States. He had a couple spells in England with Norwich and Middlesbrough, but spent a lot of years playing in the States, including a season.
And
in
Canada.
I was just getting there. You beat me to it. But yes, 1 season with the Vancouver Whitecaps in Canada. He's quite prolific in Major League Soccer. So he's getting on now, but... a pretty big name for them.
Yeah, I think this will be kind of a swan song tournament. He's never played in a tournament before, but he's kind of scored in a lot of their qualification runs all the way from 2014 is the record I have, but he probably goes back a bit before that. So I'm glad he gets to play a tournament.
Absolutely.
One can only guess he'll just retire after this, hey?
I would think so, but I'd love to see him go out with at least a goal.
Yeah, that would be nice to see. Okay, well, let's move on to our last team, Equatorial Guinea. And do we have a name?
Yeah, their nickname is the Nzalang National, if I said that correctly, which means the National Lightning.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of good stories about Equatorial Guinea here, but we'll just kind of go over their participation and achievements. So their first international game was in 1975, but they first entered the World Cup in 2002. However, they were involved in the African Cup from 1982, though they withdrew and didn't complete a first qualification until 1990 and a second one until 2000. So they participated consistently since around 2000 then. They're part of a local group in the Central African Football Federation's Union. We'll talk about that later. It's actually called UNIFAC because it's based on its Portuguese title. But UNIFAC doesn't have a cup currently. They've tried to establish one 4 times, but it seems to have never taken. In terms of achievement, they've never reached the World Cup or even the final round of World Cup qualifying. Until 2021, they've reached the 2 African Cups. Both of them were by dint of hosting. So they've done well once there, reaching as high as 4th place in 2015. Okay, so moving on to their World Cup history overview. In the World Cup, they were knocked out in preliminaries until 2010. 2006 saw them beat Togo in the first leg at home, but lose by a larger margin in the second leg. 2010 was a group stage, and they started well with a win over Sierra Leone, who they meet here, but then they lost all other 5 games. 2014 saw them win a preliminary over Madagascar and perform well at home, tying Tunisia. They beat Cape Verde, but the result was taken away for fielding a suspended player. They finished bottom behind Sierra Leone with only 2 points. Let's see how they've done in recent campaigns.
So in 2018, they received a bye in the preliminary round. And in the second round, which was a head-to-head, they were unfortunately matched with an improving Morocco, who eventually reached the World Cup finals. So that was a bit unlucky. They lost that game, the first game, 2-0 away. And despite winning at home in the second, they couldn't make up a goal difference. So they were knocked out before the round 3 group stage.
Okay. How about in the most recent cup?
Most recently, for 2022... They were among the bottom 28 ranked teams required to play in round one, effectively a preliminary knockout round. Their FIFA ranking was 139, and they met South Sudan, ranked 169. They bested South Sudan, so that's a win and a draw, but they struggled with them more than they should have, tying the first leg away and winning only on a single goal at home. A good performance in the round two groups where they were obviously underrated coming in as a fourth seed team, but they won all at home and their only loss was in Tunisia. They tied Zambia and Mauritania on the road to finish in second place in that round with a good record of 3 wins, 2 draws and a loss.
Yeah, that's a pretty good performance. I would have to disagree with the fourth seed there, but you know, coming second is quite impressive. All right, let's look at their African Cup history. So we'll do kind of an overview, and then we'll look at their finals, their dramatic finals in more detail. So their African Cup history is up and down. They actually passed the first round in 1982. When Benin withdrew, that's the first round of qualification. But then they withdrew from the second round, so they're not credited with joining the tournament until 1990. They were knocked out in preliminary rounds until 2004, when qualification started with a group stage. They earned only one win over Gabon and lost the rest. 2008 showed marked improvement, winning all home games even over Cameroon, tying Libya on the road to finish second, though it was a distant second. 2012 saw them co-hosting, but they proved themselves worthy of being in the African Cup by reaching the quarterfinals. It was the same when they were suddenly called on to host the 2015 African Cup, and they took fourth place there. So before seeing how they've fared since then, let's take a closer look at those dramatic cup runs. So as we've seen, they passed the group stage in both of the cups that they reached. Of course, they got to the cups by dint of hosting. Both were filled with drama and stories abound. 2012 saw them actually co-hosting with Gabon. Experienced international manager Henri Michel quit twice in the 3 months before the cup, and a caretaker manager was brought in 18 days before the tournament started. Regardless, though, they won their first game over Libya, scoring the only goal of the game at 87, sending the fans into a frenzy. The dream continued as they took a lead over Senegal in game two, but hopes were tempered when Senegal scored an equaliser at 89. However, a blazing strike from Kili Alvarez at 90+3 earned them a late win and assured them passages into the final stage, even got them a red card to a player celebrating too much, but pandemonious joy in the stadium. They lost to defending champion Zambia in the next game, but it didn't matter. But the quarterfinals proved too much, though, as they lost to Ivory Coast Golden Generation there in the quarterfinals. So a lot of they were a lot of fun, that tournament. In 2015, they returned to the Cup under curious circumstances. They were initially disqualified during qualification for fielding an ineligible player, but then they were reinstated when they agreed to host after Morocco pulled out 2 months before the Cup. They went undefeated through the group stage, tying Congo and Burkina Faso and beating Gabon to finish second in the group stage. A dramatic quarterfinal, this is great, Connor. Dramatic quarterfinal saw Tunisia going up a goal at 70 and then resorted to time-wasting tactics. Although the game was refereed terribly, a penalty in injury time to Equatorial Guinea was the right call, even if it did infuriate the Tunisians. The hosts went on to score a beautiful free kick in extra time, leaving Tunisia in paroxysms. Anyway, especially when Equatorial Guinea was now the one employing time-wasting tactics. So, yeah, there are a lot of punishments handed out after that game. Tunisia was kind of disgraceful, but fun to watch nevertheless. The fans actually caused trouble in the next game against Ghana. They were intimidating the Ghanaian fans, throwing water bottles and threatening to attack them after the game. And this caused a 30-minute delay in the game while the matter was resolved. So that wasn't fun. That was actually quite uncomfortable. The Ghanaian fans actually behaved really well. There was no doubt of the better team, though, and Ghana won 3-0. The third-place match went to penalties against Congo DR, and Equatorial Guinea lost to finish fourth. All right, now let's turn to 2017 to see how they did after that.
Well, they couldn't follow it up, as they had a poor qualification run in 2017. Equatorial Guinea came in as a Pot 2 team, but Pot 3 Benin proved stronger by besting them. They shamefully lost in South Sudan, but made amendments in the final game to take third place, losing twice on late goals in both cases to group winners Mali.
All right, how about 2019?
2019 was again disappointing in that they didn't challenge for second place, losing twice to second place finishers Madagascar. Group winner Senegal proved too tough, but they twice beat a weaker than expected Sudan to finish third in the qualifying group.
All right. Okay, well, a quick look at their local cup, which we have mentioned. So they're part of the Central African Football Federations Union, or UNIFAC. It has 8 members, with Cameroon and Congo DR as the strongest teams. And they don't currently have a cup, even though they've attempted 4 times to establish one. With varying success, the last one was the best attempt, and it's called the CFAC Cup, but it ran from 2003 to 2014 with 10 editions, but we're not going to cover it here because it ended in 2014. I think they actually did win it once in 2006. But let's move on to a summary.
So Equatorial Guinea have actually earned a bad reputation, accused of recruiting and using ineligible players. Most of their players are raised in Portugal, but the complaints stem from them using Brazilian players. They were punished for this in 2015, but ironically forgiven when they became the hosts of the tournament. Apart from 2 African Cup post-group stage finishes, they have been a weak team, though more competitive in recent campaigns. Perhaps more time is needed to tell, but the initial reading is that they're not really African Cup quarter finalists, but a team that would struggle to qualify under normal circumstances.
Right. They did well in 2012 and 2015 when they hosted, but it makes them hard to judge and doesn't seem to have improved their overall performance. A return to weak form after 2015 suggested hosting or maybe questionable recruiting tactics was responsible for their success. But good campaigns in recent times maybe make us rethink that. They've been increasingly competitive. They did drop in ELO rankings from 110 in 2015 to 133 in 2019. But they've since risen to 93, which is higher than where they were at after their 2 African Cup runs. Let's see how they did in qualifying for this tournament.
They came in as a 4th seed to their 4-team group, but beat 2nd-seeded Libya twice. A home win over 3rd-place finishers Tanzania proved enough to see them through, though. They lost both to Tunisia, who comfortably won the group, but Equatorial Guinea finished 2nd in the qualifying group. 2 of their wins featured late goals for the win, but they were also victims of a late losing goal in their campaign opener. So I guess it balances out there.
Right. Okay, well, in terms of recent matches, they haven't played any friendlies leading up to the Cup. So their last matches were the World Cup qualifiers. So we'll just move right along to a quick look at their players. And do you have anything to say there, Connor?
A lot of their players play in Spain, but on mostly on second tier clubs, so not really at the highest level. They also have a number of players that play domestically. So yeah, none of the names really jump out at me.
Yeah, sorry, I was maybe mixing things up when I said a lot of their players are Portuguese. Maybe I was mixing them up with another team, but as you say, they seem to play a lot in Spain.
No, I think you're right. It was they are a former Portuguese colony, but
Right, yeah.
yeah, lots in Spain nonetheless.
Okay. Yeah, no names really jump out at me except for Emilio Insue. He was the top scorer in 2022 with 2 goals, and he got one in 2021 also. And I think Sol Coco is a kind of an up and comer for them, while Iban Salvador, the name's familiar to me, so I think he might have been involved in the African Cups too. But let's feature Emilio Insue in our feature player.
Yeah, he may be familiar to some. He is the captain of the team, which he's been with for almost a decade now, and has 13 goals in his 28 caps. He currently plays in Cyprus. He's been there since 2018 with a couple clubs. But prior to that, he played with both Birmingham and Middlesbrough in the English second tier, and with Mallorca in Spain before that. So, kind of one of the more high-profile players. And yeah,
Yeah.
with those spells in both Spain and England.
Right. Well, he wasn't on that African Cup 2012 squad, but he was the captain in 2015. So he became captain quite quickly, just 2 years after he joined the team. And of course, he was a starter in the 2015 Cup. And he scored a lot of their goals along the way in failed qualifications. And he played 5 of their 8 games in 2021. He actually got that crucial late winning goal at home to Tanzania, the one that put them through to the final. So, kind of a clutch player, perhaps. All right, well, let's move on to part three of the podcast, where we kind of look at the prospects of each team. And we're going to start with the FIFA and ELO rankings.
All right. So Algeria are the pot one team. They're ranked 29th in the world in FIFA and 26th in the ELO system. That puts them third among African countries according to FIFA, but the top ranked African team in the ELO system. So depends which system you look at there.
Right.
Ivory Coast are a little further behind. They're 56th in FIFA rankings and 51st in ELO. But that makes a bit of a difference to their rankings in Africa, where they're 10th in FIFA and 5th in ELO. So they
Okay.
are a pot two team, but could have been a pot one team had the ELO rankings been used. I mean, they're not by FIFA, but they do. We both tend to find them a little bit more reliable.
That's right.
Sierra Leone, it's a big drop off to them. They're 108th in the world according to FIFA and 119th in ELO, so that's 25th or 30th among African countries. And then Equatorial Guinea are 114th in the FIFA rankings, but 93rd in ELO. So there's a big discrepancy there. They're the 28th team ranked team in Africa in the FIFA system, but 17th according to ELO. So while in FIFA rankings they're 6 places below Sierra Leone, they're 26 places above Sierra Leone in the ELO ranking. So, an interesting disparity there.
Right. Do you have an impression yourself from the information we've been presenting, whether they would be third or fourth?
I think if you, I would probably put them as third. We'll talk about that with the prospects. I think it shows more in their recent qualification campaigns. The 2022 World Cup and 2021 African Cup were both quite strong. So I see them as higher than their FIFA ranking suggests.
Right. Well, let's see where the odds makers put them. We have Algeria, of course, the favourites, and the odds makers, like the ELO rankings, are calling Algeria the overall favourites for the tournament, to win the whole tournament. Fifth most likely to win the tournament, Ivory Coast. So again, that kind of matches the ELO rankings, but not the FIFA rankings. These guys do have Equatorial Guinea third in this group, and 17th overall to win the tournament. And they have Sierra Leone actually quite a bit below that at 2021. But still above three other teams in the rankings. Yeah.
Great.
Okay. Sorry, I was. Yeah, we've seen actually for the ELO for the rankings, especially in FIFA, Equatorial Guinea and Sierra Leone bounce around quite a bit. But let's look at head-to-head records to see if we can shed a little more light. Interestingly, Algeria and Ivory Coast have an even record. Well, whichever team you choose, it's 5 wins, 4 ties, and 5 losses. So, wow, they play very evenly. They've actually met in the quarterfinals of the of 3 African Cups in 2010, 2015, and 2019. And in 2 of those, it went beyond regulation time. But twice Algeria came out ahead there, including the last one in 2019, where they won on penalties. When it comes to Sierra Leone, Algeria has the better record, but it's only 2 wins, 2 draws, and 1 loss. So fairly even record, but they haven't met since 1996. And Algeria has never met Equatorial Guinea in competition. Ivory Coast has a vastly superior record to Sierra Leone. That's 5 wins, 2 draws, and 0 losses. However, those 2 draws were in 2017, their most recent meeting. Ivory Coast and Equatorial Guinea did meet once. That was in the quarterfinal of the 2012 African Cup, where we saw that Ivory Coast's golden generation knocked out Equatorial Guinea by a convincing score of 3-0, no less. And then Sierra Leone and Equatorial Guinea, we've just kind of said that we think Equatorial Guinea is the better team, but actually Sierra Leone has a much better head-to-head record, 4 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss. And they met in 2014, most recently, where Sierra Leone bested Equatorial Guinea. So there we have it. So we move on to our discussion of the teams. Let me just... why don't you take it away, Connor?
Sure. So, you know, Algeria, as we've seen, they've been a bit of an inconsistent team, kind of intermittently popping up. But there wasn't a lot to suggest their 2019 African Cup win, but they sustained that with the win at the 2021 Arab Cup. As you mentioned, they have a pretty stable squad, you know, and they've got a lot of good results. So, you know, they're ranked by the odds makers as a favorite for the tournament, and it's kind of hard to disagree with that.
Given their record, I agree. I personally think Senegal is a bit stronger than them, but there's no doubt that Algeria is among the top. Well, I would put them second. How can you deny that record? But one way you could deny that record is how flat they were for actually large chunks of their history. However, you know, the way they've been now and the stable squad they had is pretty impressive, and I think they'll be good here. Do you think they'll be better than Ivory Coast?
I suspect they will. I think whereas Ivory Coast is perhaps rebuilding from the golden generation that saw them as a top team in 2015. Algeria seems to have found that consistency and found kind of a system that works. I think Ivory Coast, you know, when you look at their players individually, they have an incredibly strong squad on paper. You know, very strong in defense, midfield, and up front. So I think they have a pedigree to challenge Algeria and to perhaps be kind of a real threat in this tournament. But, you know, looking at recent records, including Ivory Coast failing to get win their group in the 2022 World Cup qualifying, so they're out of that competition. I think all those point in more of the direction of Algeria.
Yeah, I got to say the recent history plays a big role, but, you know, Ivory Coast actually have a stronger history, you know, than Algeria. If Algeria had long stretches of flat performances, Ivory Coast had long stretches of top four, you know, in the cup. And when I look at the names on their squad, it's really impressive. We never even mentioned Wilfried Zaha, who kind of gave up on England, gave up on joining England's team and threw his hat in with the Ivory Coast. Just so many players that if they could kind of congeal into a good unit, I could see them going far.
I totally agree. They were a pot two team, actually ranked, as we saw in the FIFA rankings, as the 10th team in the tournament. I think they're far better than that. I do put them in a top six. I think they were perhaps unlucky not to be in pot one, though again, their recent performances may not entirely back that up. But I think their ELO ranking of fifth is more reflective of where they sit among African teams. And if they do get it right, certainly they could go on a run, you know, even all the way to the final.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think, you know, they were in recovery after so many members of the Golden Generation retired, but they didn't really fall down flat. They just kind of went down a little bit, and they may be ready to come back up. I totally agree that they're not really a pot two team, but I do see how performances have put them there. But I think they'll be back on the stage pretty quickly. How about Sierra Leone or Equatorial Guinea? Do you see either of those challenging the top two?
I don't really see it in this group. And I think they're both a bit unlucky to have faced what we kind of consider as two pot one teams in their group. Among the two of them, I stand by Equatorial Guinea being the stronger team, despite, as you mentioned, Sierra Leone having the better head-to-head record. Equatorial Guinea in their two previous cups surprised by getting out of the group. They were at home, but I think they're a team that's capable of surprising yet again. So I wouldn't write them off, even to get out of the group as possibly in the third place spot. That would depend on beating Sierra Leone and perhaps getting a point against Ivory Coast or Algeria. But yeah, I think they're more likely to pull a surprise or to take points off the top two than Sierra Leone is.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more there. I mean, one of the reasons we're a bit skeptical about FIFA rankings is because they get things so wrong like this. Like Equatorial Guinea is clearly a stronger team than Sierra Leone. And you said they were pot four in 2022 World Cup qualifying and finished second. Sierra Leone hasn't done anything to justify being the top three team here. They squeaked into qualification here. They basically tied with Benin and won on goal difference, whereas Equatorial Guinea had a good campaign. Sierra Leone have lost World Cup campaigns to Chad and Liberia, whereas Equatorial Guinea, you know, they have had feeble campaigns too, but not recently. Their campaigns have been a lot better. So every other metric except head-to-head, which is a bit historical, puts Equatorial Guinea. And sometimes, Connor, that FIFA ranking inaccuracy leads to really big injustices.
Yeah, I think this is one of the stronger groups in the tournament. partly because of perhaps some deflated rankings. And I agree. I think when you look at, if you want to look as far back as just kind of the recent two qualification campaigns, they were really good. They won three games in each of their World Cup 2022 and African Cup 2021 qualifying campaigns. So they were, you know, they were more than competitive. And if they carry that form in, I think they could be a threat. Perhaps not to finish second, but certainly to take points off the others. They're good enough to.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely beat Sierra Leone. And if they can snatch a point off one of the top teams, that will probably see them through in third place. But, you know, maybe at the game level, they'll be a threat to Algeria and Ivory Coast. But I can't see them at the campaign level really challenging for second. So I think third place, a third place advancing spot would be as close as they'll get.
Yeah, I think getting out of the group, especially from this difficult group, would be a good achievement in itself, but I don't really see them winning a game in the knockout round.
Yeah. Who are you talking about there?
Equatorial Guinea.
Oh, okay. Well, that kind of leads us into talking about the knockout round. But let's go back to the top and Algeria. How far do you see them getting?
I mean, it's hard not to say back to the final, given their performances in the recent African and Arab Cups. I think that will be their goal. I think an interesting dynamic potentially between Algeria and Ivory Coast is a possible weight of expectations. I think Algeria will have higher expectations now, given their recent successes. And I think Ivory Coast, now that some of their top players, you know, have moved on, and we're talking Yaya Touré, Didier Drogba, and Solomon Kalou, perhaps less is expected of them now, even though they've got a strong team. So they may kind of fly in a little bit under the radar, and perhaps the lack of expectations could work in their favor.
That's a really good point in terms of both teams. Expectations do play a strong role. And given the way Algeria has performed recently, their fans will be expecting. I think, you know, you say the final, and of course that's possible. But I think more reasonably, the semi-finals, they'll be expected to reach that. But to be honest, that's not really their history in the African Cup. So that may be a heavy expectation for them.
Yeah, and at a game level too, I mean, both teams have, you know, lived and died by penalty shootouts recently.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get to a penalty shootout against anybody, it can kind of go either way, whether that's in the round of 16 or the final itself. So, yeah, lots of, you know, there could be things kind of outside their control as well. Fate may have a role to play. I think semifinals would be good achievements for both teams, but with a good run, either team, I think, is capable of winning.
Yeah. I like what you said about Ivory Coast. Maybe the pressure is off them. They're certainly a team capable of reaching the semifinals. They haven't shown that in recent years, but they have a long history of doing it. So, as you say, pressure off, a good performance, there's really semi-finals is not unrealistic. And I guess we talked about Equatorial Guinea perhaps reaching the round of 16. I too would kind of expect them to be knocked out there if they got there.
Yeah.
All right. And for me, Sierra Leone really has no chance. I think they would do well to pick up a draw here.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
All right. Well, that's great. Been great discussing it with you. We'll probably prove completely wrong in all our predictions, but that's part of the fun. Do you want to take us out?
First, I'll give it to you straight.
Oh, sorry. Do you want me to say it?
Go ahead.
Connor, you've been dancing around it. Give it to me straight. How is this group going to turn out? And is the third place team going to advance?
I'm going to say Algeria win the group and Ivory Coast are second, but I expect it could be tight. They may even be tied on points. I think Equatorial Guinea have a chance of going out. I think they're capable of getting a draw. But more realistically, I see them with 3 points. And then it really depends on goal difference and other factors. And I see Sierra Leone would do well to pick up a point.
I totally agree with you. I'm pipping Algeria, but wouldn't be surprised to see Ivory Coast take first. I would be surprised to see either of the two challenging the top. And as you say, maybe Equatorial Guinea, who I'm sure will win against Sierra Leone, will advance. And 3 points might be enough. Okay, so yeah, sorry about that. I forgot to do the kind of summary there, but let's move on to the outro. Do you want to take us through that?
Yeah, so you can find the podcast for all the other groups available on our website at soccerfiles.captivate.fm. You can also search Soccer Files Canada and find our website that way. Keep an eye out also for a player podcast on Algeria, which we expect to post at some point. And then you can also email us if you have any questions, comments, or feedback at soccerfiles@gmail.com.
Great. Well, good talking to you, Connor, about this. And let's meet again to discuss Group F.
I will see you there.
Okay. Bye-bye.